It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM, and iHeartRadio. We're here to discuss mental health and wellness. As always, if you have any questions or comments, please give us a call on the Origin Bank hotline, 318-324-1500. I'm your host, Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zentner. Dr. Z, how are we today?
My lawyer told me not to answer that question. I'm not in the courtroom. I'm doing just fine. If I was a golden doodle like my dog, I'd be wagging my tail. How are you, sir?
Oh, I can't complain. The year's getting off to a great start, and just excited to be back here with you. Dr. Fillon was here last week, and it's just not the same without you, Z.
It's not the same unless we're all together. And I'm sorry I missed that. I heard you had a great guest, but we're really fortunate to have all the guests we do get. We've got a great guest today. Why don't you introduce
yourself? You're right about that, Dr. Z. We have a very special guest today. We have Patricia Cameron in studio today, and she's going to be discussing her story and more specifically her book titled Grief Unwrapped, Discovering Joy in a Season of Sorrow. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
Well, this is our first time getting acquainted. I understand you spoke at the Rotary Club, Dr. Shelby and Dr. Riddle, a.k.a. Dr. Phil, and was at that event, and it was very well received. I'm sorry I missed that, but I'm glad we're getting the opportunity to meet today. I also understand you were on Mike Eccles' show early today. You're going to be a pretty popular gal.
It's been a busy day.
So, Patricia, given the nature of the subject and your own experiences and the book you've written, which I had an opportunity to not peruse as much as I would have liked, I'll be rereading it. But I tell you, 200 pages that are just packed with a lot. But it's so well organized and so rich in your personal experiences that you've endured. And I think the second part of the title to me is very interesting, Discovering Joy in a Season of Sorrow. I would just like you to start off anywhere. If I could give any direction to you, it might be just what inspired you to write this book, and was that part of your healing process? But why don't we start there? What you went through
and
in your journey.
You know, a year after my husband passed away, I was at a really low point in my life, and it was almost the 1 year anniversary when I got invited to go to a women's retreat. And I did, and, you know, a lot of things happened to get me there. At first, I wasn't going to go. I didn't want to leave my kids. But things worked out, and I went, and God used that time to heal me. I mean, I just had so many women who just loved on me, who supported me, encouraged me at that time. And I remember the main thing I learned at that retreat was that everybody has something going on, something devastating. Either they have had it or something's going on in their lives, and that I wasn't alone. And so that was a part, again, of my healing. And I believe that was a turning point in my life that I wanted to, when I left there, I wanted to write down my story. I didn't know that I would write a book at the time, but I just wanted to write everything down in my life, and that's what I did.
I remember that part of your book. And if we had talked about this on another show in someone else's recovery story about being this close to turning around. I mean, there's a lot involved with that, just facing something new to begin with and but with some encouragement. And boy, have you paid it back. There's so much in your book that is encouraging to people. It will help me in the work that I do, and I'm sure Dr. Shelby, understanding grief from a perspective of someone who's really gone through it. And what's very clear as I read through the book is how much your faith has lifted you up through this. And there are just so many interesting vignettes through it all. Just to give our listeners a little bit more understanding about your loss, could you speak more to that?
Certainly. In 2015, on actually September 11th, my husband collapsed on a track at Neville High School. And he was in the hospital for 5 days. But they declared a brain death at the end of that time frame and tried everything they could to bring him back to us. And during those days, you know, I pleaded with God that he would just bring him back and restore his health and all that. But that didn't happen. And there was a point in time when I realized I was going to have to let him go. And I gave him permission to as well. And, you know, that was just one of the most difficult things in my life, was to be able to have that decision. First of all, that decision was taken from me, which was a blessing to me. There's a lot of ways God blessed me by me not having to do and say certain things. And then, but anyway, that's what prompted this. I lost my husband when he was 45. And we had three young boys at the time, 13, 10, and 8. And so I've made a lot of mistakes, don't get me wrong, but God has used my children, he's used other people in my life to help us all to move forward.
We're going to be coming up on a break. I think I mentioned before the show, we're going to have longer segments, and we're just glad you can stay with us the whole hour. But on that note, you mentioned your sons, and I remember writing something down in I can't even read my own handwriting, it's so bad, but I believe it was Connor, the youngest?
Connor's the oldest.
Oh, Connor's the oldest. Mm-hmm. There you go. But one of them, y'all were talking about dreams, and he talked about a dream to be an artist,
mm-hmm.
and he asked you, he says, Mom, has it been your dream to always be a mother?
Yes.
And you said yes. And he said, well, you're living your dreams.
Yes.
And just kind of out of the mouths of babes experience, how the children, having them, you had mentioned the first thing you got to do is just try to survive. You have so many responsibilities. You had to be there as a mom for your kids.
Yeah.
But in our next segment, maybe you can talk a little bit about going beyond survival and being able to live your life fully again. I think your own father. There was a vignette about your dad and the three. We'll love to hear that. That's so interesting and so much more to talk about. So we really look forward to picking up from there. And Scott?
We're going to take our first break here, and we're going to come right back with Patricia Cameron, author of Grief Unwrapped, Discovering the Joy in a Season of Sorrow. You guys, y'all stick with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on the Mental Health Happy Hour.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near.
Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour right here on KMLB 540. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Scott Zentner. And our very special guest today, Patricia Cameron. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing with us. And you know, we were talking during the break, and we'll just let you take off and share your story, and we'll just go from there.
Okay, thank you. One of the things I wanted to mention is that as I have grieved, I've been reminded about one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's odd that it's about living a full life. It's John 10:10. It says that Jesus came that we might live abundantly. In most of my life, that's how I've tried to live. Not every point in my life, of course, but I have tried to live like that. But every journey is unique, and no two experiences will be the same, but we can all learn from each other. I think I learned to live a full life from my dad. At 89 years old, he decided he would take a ride around the block on his three-wheeler, and this is a 1980s three-wheeler. I used to ride that growing up, and I remember throwing my brother and my sister off of it when I did a wheeling. But anyway, Dad's never let any obstacle stop him from doing anything. He lost both legs in an accident in 1969, so it's been a long time. But so I was mortified that he had been on the three-wheeler. Let me explain that my dad is 89, well, he's 90 now, but we have to help him in and out of the car every time we go somewhere. And even in my car, which is a little higher than theirs, my boys literally pick him up and put him in the seat because it's too high for him to lift himself up. So anyway, so I'm like, Dad, what were you doing? How did you even manage to get up on the three-wheeler? And so he explained that he backed up to the seat, pushed himself up, and got on it. And so he told me at the time, he said, I think when I turn 90, I'm going to stop doing that. And he turned 90 last June. And I mean to tell you, he has been on that three-wheeler again. And I said, Dad, you cannot do that anymore. So anyway, I think that, you know, Dad's always loved life, and he's always overcome whatever obstacle that's been in front of him. And I think that's kind of where I got that originally.
I was going to say, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree because, my gosh, you've had a lot of things to knock you down in life. I was reading in the book that as great as this loss was of your husband, you had four miscarriages. You lost a child, your only daughter, at birth. I think it was Potter syndrome.
Yes.
You had a best friend die of cancer. Your nephew was tragically killed at the age of six. And so you've had to bounce back from a lot.
Yeah, and that grief has been no stranger in my life. I would say I've never said I'm an authority on grief, but I have lived it. And there's a lot of things that happened, like you said, before I lost my husband, Matthew.
Going back to your title, the word you used, I have to believe you put some thought into that. Grief unwrapped. And when I think of unwrapping something, I'm thinking of a gift. Mm-hmm. What a positive way to frame something so traumatic. And one of the things you mentioned spoke about in the book was how you lived in the survival mode. The joy. How do you bring back joy in your life? And you give a lot of examples of where you found that when your heart is so broken. Can you speak more to that?
Yes. Well, let me just talk to one thing you said. The original title I had on this book was The Gift, which is kind of interesting because grief is not, loss is not a gift normally, but the idea is that the things that happen as a result of that, how you grow and you learn and you become better and different, those are the things that become gifts. So although obviously grief is not a gift or in any sense, it also, though, can bring good things into your life, and which is what, you know, the book is about. It's living your life to the full. It's learning to find joy in the pain and then letting go to find peace. And so all three of those things are a part of the content of the book. And so...
One of the things you mentioned, if I may, some of the things that one hangs on that knows that tells you that God is with you through this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another example where your mother had been very ill and was in the hospital, and it just stood out to me that it was kind of touch and go, and on some level she knew it, and maybe was in the process of just letting go. And then she thought about, well, I think it was my sister's birthday, and wasn't her birthday that day, but I've got to be alive for my sister, and what would my husband do? And then suddenly there was an experience she had. She didn't know what to make of it.
Right. She, after all those things, she said, I saw Matthew, and he said, what about my boys? And she said, I knew then that I couldn't go. And I said, Mom, when she told me this story, I said, what do you think that means? And she's like, I don't know what it means. I'm just telling you what I saw. But she did, after that, she got better. And matter of fact, we had my niece's wedding that weekend, so she didn't get to go. They didn't get to go. But she said, you've got to go. And so I left, and she was still on the ventilator. And then she called us on that Saturday on the day of the wedding and told us that she was off the ventilator. So, God just worked through that, and there's many times that I can't explain things, but I've dreamt a lot about Matthew and just different situations. But one time on our anniversary, this was 2 years ago, it would have been our 25th anniversary, I remember waking up, and I just, in that dream, I saw him at a distance, and I was running to him, and I ran to him, and he gave me the biggest hug. I just don't think that's a coincidence that was on my anniversary, and nothing else happened. It's just that I just felt so warm and love because I was able to experience that morning.
You have a chapter in the book, Remember to Remember.
Yeah.
I really like that chapter. You talked about the chair and how you could just reflect on that chair and some of the memories that you had that were so positive in your life and your relationship with your husband.
Yeah. The day before he collapsed, the night before we had a ball game for my oldest son, and he was in junior high, but they played in the Neville Field. And we were there, and his parents were there, and he talked to his parents the whole game. And, in retrospect, I just thought that was such a special time that he was able to spend that time with them, and then the next day we never were able to talk to him again. But I do believe that memories play an important part in our healing journey. They help us process our loss. They help us connect with our loved one emotionally. And so we just did that. We would remember things about Matthew and the things he said and the mannerisms that he had and things of that nature. But we talked about him from the beginning. Now, it was very hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It was very hard, particularly in the beginning, because one child wanted to talk about his daddy all the time, and the others were like, no, nobody, I don't want anybody to know this. So it was just, you know, hard trying to manage all that with three different personalities. But we would remember things he did, his favorite food, his favorite songs, and I even tried to write all his favorite sayings down. One was like, age is mind over matter. If you don't mind, you don't matter. You know, things like that. It's always fun to talk about. But reflecting on those memories inspires us to focus on the good things in our lives, and I think that's important. And even Facebook's good about helping to remind us of special events in our lives as well. So, you know, the sting of pain eases over time. Although we still miss him, we can still celebrate his life and his legacy, though.
Yeah, and that pain associated with loss is just unimaginable. And, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, the year after your husband had passed, you had gone on a retreat, and it was then when things kind of came together and you started writing things down. Can you talk a little bit about getting to that point when you were ready to take that next step in the healing process and really putting those thoughts and emotions onto paper?
Yeah. Well, that next year I did, I began to share my story a little bit. And then over the next couple of years, I would just jot down things as I would write them in my journal. And then in 2019, I really felt impressed to really make this happen. I shared it with a friend for the first time and, like, got her feedback. And so once she encouraged me, I just felt that was my calling to go ahead and move forward with it. And so I did and just began writing things. But it wasn't until 2021 that I made a big decision, and that was to leave my full-time work, because I thought, I'm never going to get this done if I don't focus on it all the time. And so that's what I did. And so that was the really big step of faith for me, is to be able to leave the security of that work and just stay home, take care of my parents, take care of my kids, and write and work through that process, which is what I did.
Yeah, and what's so challenging and difficult, and when you do suffer a loss, is life continues to move forward, and life pulls us forward, and it's hard to be able to continue on in that progression, and to be able to experience that and to grow, and I think it's something that really puts us in an opportunity to do things that can help ourselves as well as help others. And I know that, you know, we talked before about different support groups that you've been in. Mm-hmm. And when we come back from break, if we can talk about how important that is to just be able to share that with other people, to let them know that you're not alone, and that there's others that have been in similar stages of this process, and how to come together and really heal and grow together in a community. So I know we're coming up on a break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. If y'all have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at the Origin Bank hotline, 318-324-1500. Y'all stick with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Mental Health Happy Hour.
Parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
855.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM. I'm Scott Shelby alongside Dr. Scott Zentner, our very special guest today, Patricia Cameron, discussing her book, Grief Unwrapped, Discovering Joy in a Season of Sorrow.
And we are having a great conversation, aren't we? I'm learning so much already. I think before the break we were I've just spring these questions on Patricia out of the blue, and it's sort of like it's I'm sure it's all indexed up there pretty well. But during our break, I was wondering if you could expound on another one of my favorite chapters of the book. Gratitude changes attitude. That really sticks out. And there was one aspect of that, I believe it was in that chapter that I read. Every morning you thank God for three things before you get out of bed. What an incredible way, an inspiring way to start the day.
Yes, in the back of, at the end of each chapter, I have three questions or thoughts to ponder, and that's one of them is, you know, before you even do anything at all, think about what you can be thankful for. You know, this hit me. I was on a phone call with a friend of mine, and when we hung, I was kind of unloading on her a little bit, and it was sort of a business call, but she's also a friend. And so when we got off the phone, she said, go and make it a great day. And then I thought, you know, I have the resources to do that. I can make it a great day for myself and for my family. I've seen it done countless times. One person has a sour mood, and then everybody does. And so that really does, but your attitude really does make a difference. And in that chapter two, I talk about how God's hand was in the many things. Even though it was a tragic time in our lives, I could see God working through it. You know, my husband didn't suffer. I didn't have to make a decision about life support. And I knew what he wanted. He'd already told me way back that he did not want to be buried. So I knew things about him. And I struggled with whether my kids should go back and see him in that state or not. And I did let them. And I'm so glad that I did, because they still have that memory of being able to at least to talk to him. So just things like that, I know that even though, again, it was tragic, God was also giving me a blessing through some of those events.
You know, it's not unusual, especially in a very close relationship that you had with your husband, to think, gee, what would happen to him if I suddenly left? And what would happen to me if I left? And in the book you said, well, I think he would have gone on just fine. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't know if I can't imagine that. You know, just my brain would stop right there. I have to say, from reading your book, I think your husband is smiling to see how well you've done with yourself. That would be, I would think, his greatest wish for you, that you would recover from this and go back to living that full life that you had. And what you've done as a mother, I got to believe on some level you've inspired him as well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, he really always was my biggest cheerleader, my biggest fan. He always was encouraging me at work or at home. And
he got you running marathons.
Yeah,
I read that.
He was my biggest encourager on that as well. And
I couldn't walk a marathon. In fact, I'm not sure I can walk back to my car after this interview. Not the best of shape. Maybe I need to get some coaching from you and taking better care of myself. But, yeah, talk a little bit more, though, about the gratitude changes attitude, some examples of that in your life that you can really identify. I know this much is true, and I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer that, but in a little bit different way, because one of the things that, Scott, you mentioned was support groups and things. And I will have to say that I did not do things probably the normal way, because I didn't go in any kind of grief share groups and support groups. And I probably should have. But honestly, I was just, again, trying to survive with three young boys in the home. And we were really busy. And I just didn't have time like that for myself. But I did have a support group. I had friends who I'm so grateful for that did things for me that I just couldn't do for myself at the time. I had people I didn't even know coming. I had a friend of mine. We weren't that close, but she lived down the street from me. And every Father's Day, she would bring us a gift for the boys and me. And she still does that. She still brings us things. And she actually was on my launch team now. And so, you know, we've become a lot closer, but she did that. And who does that for 6 or 7 years? People do it for, you know, a few months, but not that long. And then my neighbor has always looked out after me too. And then I have a guy that came the day of the memorial service, and he said, I want to mow your yard for you until your boys are able to do it themselves. And so he mowed my yard that season, and then he taught them how to do it. So just things like that out of the ordinary, I guess, but on top of just the normal friends being there to support you, just people that just lifting a hand to help in whatever way they could. So that was my support, and that's what helped us get through that time.
You know, and that's just such a powerful story there, and for one, for those to, you know, offer that, and for you to accept that, that's a lot there to have that opportunity. Wow, I just can't imagine, and to have that amount of community support from people that you don't know or didn't know well that have really come through for you and the kids, and that's powerful.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just speaks to the strength of this community. We may not be the booming economic engine that we were at one time, perhaps, but boy, you know, you think about some places in the world, and even in this country, where everybody's just so busy coming and going, and they're, even if they're not self-centered, they're pretty focused on self just to get through the day. They don't have a sense of community. I one time read a study. It was conducted in a large metropolitan area, and they recruited people, and they did a background wellness check on them, which was kind of average, and asked them to do one act of kindness for someone else. And out of the 50 or so people they recruited in the study, 43 stayed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they surveyed them again, they all had a higher opinion of their own wellness. It just shows what an act of kindness does for the person giving it as well as one receiving it.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Z, it's something we say quite often, and it's so true in Patricia's circumstances. Never worry alone. And there are people that can really be there to help support and help pull you forward, and the same way that others have been there for you, you've been there for others. And,
surely.
And we're definitely not alone in our community, and I think one of the things that's encouraging about your story is to not isolate and to continue life, is even with the challenges and struggles as it is, to go through that and to be where you are is it's just an incredible journey, and to be able to share that with others is is so powerful.
And there are certainly days you want to do that, just hide away. And I'm not saying I never did that either.
Right.
But, you know, like I said earlier, every journey is unique. But there are people, there are some people who are still held captive in their sorrow. This quote speaks to me. It's by an American entrepreneur, John Rohn. But he says, the walls we build around us to keep sadness out also keeps out the joy. And so when there's sadness, they leave no room for joy in their lives. And so there comes a point in time when, again, we're going to be sad at times, but we can't live in that sadness and live in that sorrow. And because we want to experience that joy. And I believe that that joy comes through a relationship in relationship with Jesus Christ, that deep-rooted joy. You can be happy about things in life, but to have an inner joy is different, and that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Wow, that's so
there's
true.
So much wisdom in this book, and that comes from experience. But, you know, just to... was it therapeutic for you to write the book?
Yes, as I said, I think I said earlier... it was one of the most difficult things I've done in my life, but it was also refreshing is not the right word, but it was healing in a sense, and it helped me to move forward, you know, in my journey through grief. So it definitely helped. And as a matter of fact, I would suggest to people to do some other things like that, you know, what we did, make a list of things that God has done for you. Write down events in your life that have made you smile or touched your heart, and hold on to those things when you need that encouragement. Write out scriptures that helped you in your grief, or search them if you don't know any. And then keep memories alive. Recall your favorite memories. Treasure those things and talk about them in conversation. Remember the things they did, their favorite songs, just their whatever their favorite things and sayings were. Remember those things. Those are healing. And write about big things, write about small things, write about things that make you cry or things that make you laugh, or things that move you forward. But celebrate their life. You can be sad, but we can also celebrate the life that they did live.
I get asked this question quite a bit, and we're going to, I think, a couple of minutes before our next break, but we can start it, a discussion about this now, maybe pick up from there. From your own experiences, as you said, you've been blessed with a lot of friends in your life. There are probably a lot of other people out there that would have liked to have reached out more but felt awkward. They weren't sure what to do. And I guess my question would be, what things in that situation, having gone through it, do you find, even though they may be well-intended, not very helpful? And what things do help?
Okay.
Yeah, I know that's definitely something that we can pick up on. That's a big question, and I don't think we have the time to.
Yeah, I've had some people, you know, run into somebody at Walmart. We're running everybody, right? And they see, and I'm going to kind of duck down this other aisle. And I don't know what to say. It's just awkward for me. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And you know, what I've heard from others is just be like you've always been with me. I don't know what your own thoughts are, but
yeah.
It sounds like what your friends have done, you know, that have helped you through this. They approach you the same way they always did, but you were in need, and, of course, they responded to it just openly and honestly.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
What a powerful conversation we're having.
I feel like
Patricia.
We're just scratching the surface of the book in our final
segment.
Let our audience know how they can get this book and you know, any other information you might want to share with them. So
exactly, and just another example of community and being with other people and never worrying alone. And we're in this together and. What a powerful story we're hearing today from Patricia Cameron. We'll be right back in just a few minutes here on the Mental Health Happy Hour.
As
As a parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 540 and 105.7 FM. We're having a great conversation today with Patricia Cameron. And I just want to say thank you so much for being able to take some time and to come in here and share with us and listeners today what a powerful story that you have. And the book you have is a resource and can impact all those that are in need of hearing your story and how they can, too, move forward and discover the joy, even during a season of pain and sorrow. So thank you so much for being able to be here today.
Sure.
And, you know, during the break, we were talking about the use of humor, and laughing more is one of your resolutions this year. Can we talk a little bit about humor and laughing and why you feel that's important to make that a priority from last year on to now?
Okay. Well, last year about this time I read a devotion, and it was about laughter. It was about laughing at things not being so serious. And I took that to heart. I thought, you know what, I'm a little bit too serious. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to make that my New Year's resolution. I'm going to laugh more this year. And I knew that's what Matthew was. He was laughing all the time. You didn't know him, but he
sounded like a real cut-up.
Yes, always cracking jokes, all, you know, just in good fun. But everybody loved him, and we always were laughing around him. But anyway, but I've not always been that way. I'm a little more serious. So I decided I was going to do that. And so I wrote that devotion. Well, actually, it's in the book, but I also wrote a devotion first and put it on a blog I started last year. And then this, like last month, a magazine picked it up. They're going to run it this quarter in their magazine called Just Between Us. It's a Christian women's magazine. So that was kind of exciting to find out about that as well. But, yeah, that's what it's about. It's like taking a moment and just seeing the humor in situations and not just what happened that went wrong. I laugh at myself all the time because I'm usually doing something wrong. Like this morning, which really wasn't a laughing matter, but I did drop my computer twice. And then before I left the house, I realized I had my blouse on backwards. So, you know, what do you do? And so, but that, I will also have to say that I made a lot of mistakes along the way too early on with the boys because I would get real stressed when things didn't go the way I wanted them to. And so we had a time of all of us having to learn how to live in this new environment. So I probably stressed them out quite a bit. But we've kind of found our rhythm now, I guess. And they're also older as well. But I'm hopefully I'm teaching them to laugh at their mistakes and, you know, things like that. I will share one more quick thing. This weekend, all the Cameron family came over. We had a late Christmas with the ones that were out of town. And so I left all my Christmas decorations up until until they left. So, but as soon as they left Saturday afternoon, I thought, y'all get the boxes out of the attic. We're getting rid of this stuff. And so we took the tree down, and my middle son, Garrett, took it to the recycle pile. I was hoping they were still over there. So he took it out, and he came home, and he was laughing. I'm like, what is it? And what happened was the tree was so dry and so airy that it flew out of the back of the truck and stopped like four cars on the road trying to get it out of the road. And so anyway, but he just came home laughing about it. And, you know, we just had a really good chuckle, but he didn't stress over it. It was just a funny thing that happened. But although he did say that four people knew him that were in the line of cars, and they were teasing him mercilessly. But anyway, so it was probably on social the next day. You know,
you know, speaking of laughter, I couldn't help but notice the foreword to your book was written by one of our former pastors here, and he's quite a comedian, Dr. Swanberg.
Yes.
He does some incredible impersonations, doesn't he?
I met him for the first time at my launch party. He came and spoke, and just a wonderful human being. And he's been talking about my book everywhere, too. So a friend of mine actually gave it to him, and he read it in a couple of hours, and he wrote that nice foreword for me. It's just really incredible. I'm so grateful for it.
He referred to himself as the minister of encouragement, and how encouraged he was just from reading your book, as I have been.
Yes.
Yeah, and Patricia, I think this is something that goes without saying, but your story, your book, what you're doing to help you find that joy and continue to move forward is, you know, you're able to really impact a lot of people directly and talking with individuals and groups and in your own community, but as well as, you know, indirectly. And people that don't know you personally, and you know, as you mentioned, you know, having that that magazine, you know, reach out and provide that that article there, you know, you're really able to extend far beyond this community in your reach and really help connect individuals that are grieving with hope, and that's just such a true gift that you're giving to so many in this world. And I know that you don't hear enough, but, you know, thank you so much for what you're able to do and how you're doing it. It's people definitely notice, and people are being helped by your contribution and your story.
Well, thank you for that. I really, truly am just trying to do what I'm trying to be faithful to what I believe God's called me to do. And I'm excited because I'm enjoying this as well. And like I said, God has brought me out of this time in my life where I'm doing something that I'm really enjoying as well, on top of just recovering from, you know, the loss and all.
If I can just piggyback on your comments, Dr. Shelby, there's so much out there, self-help stuff on the Internet, libraries everywhere. But we had a guest on our show talk about his recovery from depression. He wrote a book about it.
Okay.
And I didn't know anything about this book until one of my patients came in. And I noticed he'd made a little medication change. He came in a month later, and he looked a lot better. And I asked him, do you think the medicine helped? He said, well, it kind of got me out of the hole I was in. It got me interested in what do I need to do to get better. He got on the Internet, and he found this book. And what appealed to him about it, not to say that people in our field may not have some experience. We learn a lot from our patients, of course. But he knew that he had gone through this. And I think a lot of people who will read your book, they'll see that as well. It's very clear. They see something in someone who's gone through their own recovery that is so genuine. And I mean, they personally endured it and grown from it. And in my own experience, no matter what it is, whether it's a loss, whether it's addiction, whether it's a terrible depression or some other kind of illness, those are the kind of books that people need. Those are the kinds of supports that people need. And you're going to help a lot of people with this book. I think it just was released in November. So we're just getting started, aren't we?
You know, someone told me the other day, a friend that she gave the book to, her comment about it was, there was a story in it that she said, that exact thing happened to me. I know exactly what that feels like. And so that's encouraging to me, too, because people can resonate with the things that are in there. And hopefully that it will encourage them and help them down the road as well.
You know, and something about, you know, your story and just being able to connect to others. And I think in times when we're in need, that connection shows that there's that relationship, and whether that relationship is through God, Jesus, our friends, our family, our church friends, work friends. I think, you know, as we all know, whenever things are challenging, it could be so easy to just disconnect and isolate. But to continue to have that relationship allows us to redefine that relationship and fine-tune it and continue to move forward. And I know that you've done that and redefined the relationship with your kids to continue to bring them up in a way where they have gratitude and joy and modeling that for others that are in this, a similar position is just such a gift. And, you know, as you say, gift on grief unwrapped, and, you know, that the title of the book initially was something very similar. But just
the gift.
Yeah. It's just the gift unwrapped. And, wow, just what a story. What a powerful testimony. Tell us how we can get your book, Patricia.
Okay, I do have a website. It's called patriciacameronwrites.com. It's W-R-I-T-E-S. And that's just simply because there are a bazillion Patricia Camerons out there. And it's also on Amazon. And also I put together a little study guide to go along with it. Just give a little bit more questions to answer and things of that nature. It's on Amazon as well. So if you search Patricia Cameron or Grief Unwrapped, you should be able to find it on Amazon. And there, it's also in several stores locally as well.
Wow. Well, Patricia, again, we can't thank you enough for being able to come on. Share your story, share your book, and definitely the workbook I know can be a great companion to this book. You know, this Patricia Cameron, The Grief Unwrapped, Discovering Joy in a Season of Sorrow. You can find her work, patriciacameronwrites.com. Also know that there are other support groups in our community, at local churches and other counseling centers. They're individuals that are highly trained in working with individuals and families that have experienced grief and loss. Just know that you're not alone, and there's community to help support and encourage and help guide you through this process. And this book, Grief Unwrapped by Patricia Cameron, is a great resource if you find yourself in need of this type of resource. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you,
Patricia.
Thank you so much.
It's a real honor.
And we'll be back next Thursday, 5 o'clock, here on KMLB. This is Mental Health Happy Hour. We'll talk to you next time.